How many times have our patients returned to our office and are just stuck in the cycle of chronic inflammation? We throw everything we have at them, nothing changes, and even our dentists are frustrated. Rather than throwing our hands up and shrugging, we need to be turning to PerioTrace by PerioProtect. I have seen the evidence firsthand and have helped so many hygienists find this resource because it really works, which is why there are so many products on the market now trying to imitate them. The results are speaking for themselves, but rather than going with an unproven product, stick with the only periodontal medicine delivery system cleared by the FDA. And not only that, but their support team is seriously among the best I've ever encountered, from the education to implementation to support when there's the inevitable bumps on the road. They are there for you. If you want to get in contact with them to learn more about how you can treat your patients better, head over to perioprotect.com/RDH. And on that site, at the bottom is a contact form that you can fill out or simply email them directly to ask for help. This is one thing I truly believe should be in every dental practice. perioprotect.com/RDH to stop the cycle of chronic inflammation.
There's this condition that we have now identified called long COVID. And for many people who suffered a COVID infection and survived it, now they have to deal with the long symptoms of COVID. We have to remember that COVID was both a respiratory and a blood vessel disease. And it's the blood vessel problem that I think is going to sort out over time to be the biggest issue with COVID. If you or your patients are suffering long COVID, there is hope, there is help, and we have a strategic plan, one at a time, to identify your risk factors, make sure you don't have the bad, scary stuff first, and then treat the underlying predisposing conditions one at a time until you feel better.
Yeah, this is a tale, oh yeah, a tale of two hygienists. So there might be only one, bringing the best of dental knowledge, and we do it all with ease. We cover oral health and screening and preventing gum disease. We're gonna do a lot of learning and have a little bit of fun working at the dentist. Tale of Two Hygienists.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of A Tale of Two Hygienists, episode number 331. I am your host, Andrew Johnston, and thank you for downloading the show and giving it a listen. I know that there have been a lot of changes with the podcast this year, and we want to give you the things that you want to hear and you want to experience. So right here, right at the very, very front of the show, I want to say, if you have any feedback about the show or suggestions for episodes, please don't be shy. Go ahead and send me an email, andrew@atale2hygienist.com, or you can DM us through any of our social media accounts, and we'll take that pretty seriously. Every year we do send out through email a questionnaire about different things, but I don't want to wait until the end of the year to be able to figure out what's going to happen for 2023. If you want change now, please let me know. This week we have Dr. Ellie Campbell on the show speaking about long COVID, among many other things. It was an absolute treat to have her on, and once you hear it, you're going to want to hear more of what she has to say. So make sure you all do me a favor. Do this. Go into AAOSH, A-A-O-S-H, American Academy for Oral Systemic Health. Go check out their website and see what else she speaks on. Also, you'll learn about other speakers that have that same passion, that same oral systemic link, connection, discussion. You'll find lots of speakers on their website. The Academy does a really great job of linking that dental and medical through a variety of topics and lectures. Dr. Campbell is a key part of their leadership, and so we're very lucky to have her on. We're thankful that she made the time to do that. Also, a special thank you to Michelle Hudson for connecting us and also co-hosting this episode. Next week, you're going to be hearing from Andre Chardin as he returns to the podcast to talk about some perio protocols. So here's another question for you. Did you all know that we have Amber Auger on the show? So currently, every month, GC America has a tip episode. Those air on Fridays. And Amber is representing GC on her tip episode. So last Friday was her most recent episode that aired. If you like listening to her lectures or if you follow her on social media, make sure you don't miss her episodes. And the best way, of course, to do that is to hit that subscribe button. But if you look in your podcast feed, just go back a couple of episodes and you'll find her tip episode. One other thing I do want to talk about here in the intro is I know that we have these ads, and I know it's very easy to skip over the ads, but I want to make sure that you guys take a minute at least each month listening to the ad a few times, because I feel really passionate about the people that we bring on. PerioProtect has offered to do a 15-minute consultation if you are interested in bringing that into your practice. And they're not paying me for this part of to bring it into the on the intro. I feel really passionate about what they're doing. And I know that your patients will benefit for it. We've seen it firsthand, I don't know how many times now. And in addition to that, it's going to be great for the practice. It's going to build the production for the practice. The only thing you have to do, honestly, is take an impression. It's really that simple. So please make sure you guys listen to the ads, do the call to action for them. And I think that you're going to really like it. Short intro today. That's it for me. Thanks for listening. Please enjoy this episode with Dr. Ellie Campbell and Michelle Hudson. Welcome everyone to the interview portion of the podcast. We're so excited to be joined by Dr. Ellie Campbell. Dr. Campbell, thank you so much for making time for us today.
Oh, it's my honor and pleasure to be here. Thank you for asking me.
Yeah, so excited. And of course we have Michelle Hudson, the notorious Michelle Hudson.
Andrew, I can't believe that you keep letting me co-host.
I know. Look, the well's getting pretty dry. Like you're, no, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. No, we love you. Our audience loves you. I love you. We all love you. So it'd be great.
I am happy to introduce my friend and fellow board member of the American Academy for Oral Systemic Health, Dr. Ellie Campbell. Dr. Campbell is, and y'all are going to love her before you've even really learned anything from her, because healthcare means everything to her. Educating is, she's passionate about it, and she loves sharing with all healthcare providers and patients. She is educated from Kirksville College of Osteopathic Medicine, but y'all, guess what? She's also educated from Medical College of Georgia. She is one of the most amazing integrative physicians I have ever met, and she has a beautiful, kind heart. And thank you so much for being here, Dr. Ellie.
Oh, gosh. Thank you for all those sweet, kind words. Just trying to make a little better world by empowering patients and clinicians with information, because the more we have educated our population, the better healthcare decisions we can make and the better we can feel, so that we can be able to serve whatever it is God's purpose on this planet for us is.
And you 100% with everything in you believe in collaboration, and which is why your patients are so healthy. And I do believe that. I think that it's not a one-stop shop, and anyone who believes that they can have that in, whether it be a physician or a dentist, we hygienist, it takes a village. And like staying in that area, let's talk COVID. You know, I would like to begin with, you know, I believe that the masses, I'm hearing whispers, it's over, it's done. Many people are ready to close that chapter and open the next chapter. And the reality is, Dr. Campbell, is COVID over?
Sadly, no. COVID is the gift that keeps on giving. So while we are probably done with our pandemic portion of this infection, two things are happening. Number one is COVID will become endemic. That means it will always be with us. We will always have COVID cases, just like we have colds and flu. And so it has to be on our differential diagnosis going forward. Whether it ends up with a seasonality like those other respiratory illnesses or not remains to be seen. But the second thing is that there's this condition that we have now identified called long COVID. And for many people who suffered a COVID infection and survived it, now they have to deal with the long symptoms of COVID. And even for those who thought they were out of the woods, there's maybe even a third arm of that. And that is that we have a significant 12-month mortality risk. You know, we lost 886,000 people and counting from COVID. We had almost 1 million hospitalizations in the United States. More than 75 million reported cases, and that's the ones the CDC counted. Those don't count the people who did home tests or the people whose family doctors did tests and don't report them. So certainly an underreporting of the number of cases. And while a third of patients are probably going to go on and get COVID long symptoms, We now know that patients under age 65 who have been hospitalized with COVID have a 233% increase in mortality for the next 12 months.
Wow.
So that's a really scary thing, right? That means, oh my gosh, I got over COVID, but now for the next year, I'm at risk for dropping dead. What's going to get me? Is it going to be a heart attack? Because, you know, we knew about those blood clot things. Is it going to be a lung infection? What's going to get me? And the answer is, it's a whole myriad of things. Only 20% of these post-COVID deaths are respiratory or cardiovascular in nature. So it's autoimmune things, it's cancer things, it's neurological things. And so as a primary care physician, I need to be on the lookout and I need to fix everything that can be fixed to reduce the patient's risk of every chronic disease, because COVID is just one of them. And I think that we have some hope, because I think that there is a lot of things, once you know about them, that we can do to help decrease this risk of 233% increased chance of mortality over the next year.
So what does that look like, Dr. Campbell? I know that you are very functional, integrative, medicine-minded. So you really are looking at the whole body, root cause inflammation. Will you walk us through a patient that you have that is suffering from long COVID? And what are you looking for? And how are you treating?
Yeah, of course. So first of all, we sort of have to start with what's the definition of long COVID, right? So first of all, you have to have a probable or confirmed case. You don't necessarily have to have a positive COVID test. If you had all the symptoms of COVID and lost your sense of smell and taste and never got tested, that's good enough for me for the first part of the diagnosis. And then the second part is that you need to have persistent symptoms for at least 2 months that can't be explained by any other alternative diagnosis. The most common symptoms that we see are fatigue, shortness of breath, brain fog, also known as cognitive dysfunction. But there's other symptoms as well that impact your everyday functioning. I've seen muscle weakness, I've seen muscle pain, I've seen headaches, I've seen gastrointestinal symptoms, worsening of chronic diarrhea, worsening of irritable bowel syndrome symptoms, worsening of heartburn. I've seen menstrual cycle abnormalities. So there's a lot of things that it can be besides just the classic three: fatigue, shortness of breath, and cognitive dysfunction. Also, the symptoms can fluctuate or relapse over time. So that's a little frustrating for patients too, because they thought they were over it and then bam, something happens and out it comes again. And it seems to me like the triggers for these relapses are both physiological, such as they broke their ankle or they had a car accident, or they're psycho-emotional. My husband asked for a divorce. My firstborn child's going off to college, right? Those sort of things, I think, can also bring on a relapse of long COVID. So we have a diagnosis. So we have to remember that COVID was both a respiratory and a blood vessel disease. And it's the blood vessel problem that I think is going to sort out over time to be the biggest issue with COVID, because this long-term, what organ isn't served by blood vessels, right? Every organ can therefore be susceptible to the symptoms of long COVID. And if there's a chronic underlying illness and you add to that COVID, the spike protein that we see in this COVID virus itself, you know, on the surface, those little spiky things that stick out, is a super antigen. So it revs up the immune system and sends it for a tizzy. So if you already have autoimmune things, I think spike protein is likely to worsen your autoimmune things. If you already have hypercoagulability, you had, so for example, anticardiolipin antibody syndrome, and you had a miscarriage in your youth. That's the only symptom you ever had. Well, now that comes back with a vengeance, because this super antigen has now kicked it up. Things that used to be quiet aren't quiet anymore. You may have had Lyme disease or Babesia or Bartonella or one of these tick-borne illnesses. And now you have COVID. Now it's kicked up with a vengeance. And so some of the people that I think we're blaming COVID on are really having other infections flare up. So we as integrative physicians are uniquely positioned to identify and be able to treat those contributors. So you asked about what would a patient look like? Well, I think, you know, we talk about any sort of chronic fatigue illness. It's probably the most common thing that I see when people come in. You know, we want to blame it always on Epstein-Barr virus, but I don't think that that's fair. And I think that many of us, probably 95% of the population, has been exposed to Epstein-Barr virus at some point or another, and all chronic fatigue is not Epstein-Barr, certainly. So the symptoms include fatigue, and that's physical fatigue, as in I don't have enough energy to get through my workday. I have to stop and rest at lunch before I can do the rest of my workday. But it's also cognitive fatigue. It's I sit at my computer and work, and then all of a sudden, after about 2 hours, my eyes don't want to focus. I can't remember what I just read. I need to step away from my computer and close my eyes and put my head on my desk and just rest for a little bit. And then I can muster enough energy to go back on the computer and do things again. So that fatigue, both physical and mental, are probably the biggest thing that I see with post-COVID. There is shortness of breath. There is muscle aches. There is headaches. There's the lack of desire to exercise, and then the inability to do any kind of workout that you used to do, that taxing, that physical challenge of taxing your body is just one too many straws on the camel's back.
I have a patient that I actually saw on Wednesday, and she's been a patient of mine for almost 14 years, and this is a very, she lives an incredibly healthy lifestyle, and she enjoys working out every day, and she eats very healthy. She's in her mid-50s, and she got COVID in August, and she is suffering from long COVID, and she started crying in my chair because she's like, Michelle, it's so sad. She's like, I can't even work out. She's like, I'm walking and I'm grateful that I can walk. I have enough energy to do a walk, but I haven't lifted a weight since August of 2021. And I've, again, been seeing her for almost 14 years, and she has a ton of energy, and she just skips in the office, and we have the best time. And to sit there and listen, and that's what she needed. She needed to feel heard. And of course, we refer her to a collaborative physician that we work with that will do a deeper dive. But knowing that you've done so much research in this area, Dr. Campbell, what are you looking for when you start to treat? Like, how are you testing? And what does your treatment look like for your average patient suffering from long COVID?
Right. So I think that, first of all, we have to recognize that a proportion, and I honestly, I can't tell you what percentage this is. It's sort of too new. This data is all going to be sorted out over time. But a certain proportion of these patients have developed cardiomyopathy. They've developed impaired heart muscle. Their heart muscle does not have the strength to fully pump all the blood with every heartbeat. And so we have to rule that out, because forcing a person like this to exercise could be a fatal mistake. So we want to make sure there's treatment for this, and we'll talk about some of the evaluation and treatment as I go on. But I think anybody that has new onset exercise intolerance deserves a coronary and cardiac workup. That would include an echocardiogram, that's the ultrasound of their heart, a 12-lead EKG where you lie on the bed, they put the stickies on your wrists and your ankles, and we measure the electrical capacity across your heart. Not just one of those ones you do on your iPhone with two leads. It needs to be a office or hospital-based EKG. Probably we should do some form of ambulatory heart rhythm monitoring, such as a Holter monitor, where you wear that little electrode thing around your neck for a day or a week or a month, depending on how bad your symptoms are and how often they're available. And then there's a new test on the block called high sensitivity cardiac troponin. And this can help us to rule out active myocarditis, an acute inflammation of the heart muscle. Now, many people are familiar with cardiac troponin in the outpatient setting for the diagnosis of heart attack, right? You go to the hospital, they check your heart enzymes. This is one of the enzymes they're looking for. And if this enzyme increases as you're sitting in the hospital gurney waiting to evaluate for your heart attack, then we know that you've had heart muscle damage and we'll usually take you to the cath lab to look for your heart attack and see if there's a blood clot or a stent to be placed. But this high sensitivity troponin is used in the outpatient setting, and often it's helpful to exercise a little bit, to go for a walk or do something like that and measure about 24 hours afterwards, because that can put just a little bit of stress on a heart and make the test more likely to be positive. So if we have a positive high sensitivity cardiac troponin, we recommend 3 months of heart rest before the patient can be cleared to return to play. And this is true for athletes. This is true for perimenopausal women. This is true for seniors. If you have evidence of heart muscle stress, we want your heart to rest a bit before we give you time to go back out again. So that's the most urgent thing that we do. Not everybody needs that workup. I think if you're coming in with brain fatigue and headaches and menstrual irregularities, you probably don't need that workup. But if you can't do your exercise, if you can't work out any longer, that's where we'll start. So that involves usually referring to a cardiologist. For me, in my office, I like to look at labs, right? I'm Bale Donin trained, so I look at the fire panel and I check to see, does the patient have markers of inflammation? And those typically include myeloperoxidase and LPPLA2, ADMA and SDMA, and we'll talk about nitric oxide in a second because every hygienist needs to know about nitric oxide.
I agree. Will you go through that inflammatory panel real quick? Because I'm not sure how many people listening to this understand that inflammatory panel.
Sure. Let me name them first, and then we'll tell the details.
Thank you.
So, myeloperoxidase, LPPLA2, ADMA and SDMA, NT-proBNP, high sensitivity C-reactive protein, oxidized LDL, and F2 isoprostane. Those are the markers that we consider in our fire panel. So myeloperoxidase and LPPLA2 are enzymes that come from white blood cells when they are inflamed. And the most common source of this inflammation is from the inflamed artery wall. As we know, atherosclerosis builds up behind the drywall of the artery in that space called the carotid intima media space before it ever bulges into the artery lumen where the blood flows. So if we're already seeing a bump in the artery that's identified on a catheterization, for example, that patient has had a previous event where the plaque ruptured, the body recognized that gooey, sticky, inflammatory plaque as a foreign invader. It made a blood clot, sealed it off like a scab, and as that scab healed, it made a bump in the artery. So we can identify that. Now, I also see in my office that besides inflamed arteries, another place where we can identify myeloperoxidase is in endodontal disease. So when the patient has a root canal and their tooth is dead, there is no nerve. So they don't feel all the inflammation that's smoldering in the bottom of that root canal. Furthermore, we take a bite wing x-ray. We don't look at the bottom of the tooth root. We're looking at the chewing surface where you all are looking at the chewing surface to see if there's something that might need a filling, right? We need a really deeper dive, a very extensive x-ray to find this endodontal disease, a cone beam CAT scan, for example, or a 3D x-ray, and a very, very high index of suspicion that we're looking for something. So as an integrative doctor, I have learned to depend on the traditional Chinese medicine acupuncture meridians to help me make a map of the body to where to look for when I see an elevated myeloperoxidase. So for example, if I do breast thermography on a patient and I detect a hot breast on one side and I do a blood test and they have elevated MPO,
I suspect that that is tooth number 30, because by traditional Chinese medicine, the breast and the thyroid are connected to that tooth meridian. If I see myeloperoxidase and the patient has elevated proBNP, then that's a muscle test of the cardiac muscle. And now I'm suspicious that they have a problem with a wisdom tooth site, even if their wisdom teeth are absent, even if their wisdom teeth have been absent for 30 years. I've still had patients that had infected bone, asymptomatic, and needed very deep surgery to clear that infection and that bacteria, all identified from elevated MPO and elevated proBNP.
The cavitation
sent to the dentist.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. So until I was educated in the oral systemic connection, I fear that I missed this connection very often. And so now I know about it, and now I'm obligated to take a really deep dive and to have a high index of suspicion and to take the patient, circle those lab report, call their dentist, tell them what I'm thinking, and ask for that really deep dive. The next test is ADMA and SDMA. So asymmetric dimethyl arginine is this test. You may have heard the word arginine before. Arginine is an amino acid, and it's often thought of as being integral to the nitric oxide pathway. So nitric oxide, as we know, is the Nobel Prize-winning miracle mouth molecule that has so many downstream effects. It regulates blood pressure. It regulates blood sugar. It regulates neurotransmission. It regulates immune system. Nitric oxide is just our best friend, right? It regulates everything. The rate-limiting enzyme in the pathway that makes nitric oxide is called nitric oxide synthase. And guess where it's made mostly? According to my friend Dr. Nathan Bryan, it's made in the crypts of the tongue by bacteria that live there. If we have oral bacterial overgrowth, the wrong type of unfriendly bacteria that live in our mouth, we reduce the amount of nitric oxide synthase, and all that good stuff that's supposed to happen in the floor of our nose when we nasal breathe goes away, and we cannot make nitric oxide. So when I measure ADMA and I find an elevation, I tell my patients, we need to increase your nitric oxide. Yes, you could take beetroot supplements or add beets to your morning smoothie, but I need you to go see your dentist, and if they're not trained in dental sleep medicine, I need you to help me. I will help you find a dentist who is, because we need to talk about not mouth breathing. We need to talk about how mouths are for eating and noses are for breathing. We need to talk about, do you have undiagnosed sleep apnea? What is the size and function of your oral airway? If your airway is too small, and you, because like me, some orthodontist who thought they were doing the best thing for you took out four of your teeth to do orthodonture and then put you in headgear and smushed your entire face backwards so that you didn't have an overbite anymore. It made a nice, cute little smile, but it also shrunk your airway by 4 millimeters. So now you have this little tiny coffee straw that you're trying to breathe through at night. You won't make good nitric oxide. You won't have good oxygen. You'll be a mouth breather and a snorer. And I can tell that by ADMA. Next marker that we look at is to talk about LPPLA2. LPPLA2 is one of those markers that tells me you have a volcano rumbling in your arteries, or you may have a volcano rumbling in your gums, that you may very likely have periodontal disease, gingivitis, or otherwise inflamed gum tissue that is leading to this marker be elevated. So I tell my patients that pink in the sink is a 911 dental emergency. And if you see that and I see elevated LPPLA2, that pink in the sink is telling me that we are plaquing your arteries as we speak. And you as a hygienist can help save my patient's life if you get in there and teach them that pocket depths of more of 4 millimeters isn't normal, that a little bit of bleeding is not okay, that a little bit of treatment today and then I'll see you in 6 months is not enough. That this needs to be a group effort of you plus me plus their dentist plus the patient aggressively working to normalize these blood levels.
So this ties into even your patients, our patients that are suffering from this long COVID. You're going and you're looking for root cause inflammation. You're looking for damage from COVID, but I am part of the treatment is making sure there is no inflammation in the body or curing the body from inflammation.
Exactly right. Because not only does periodontal disease increase the risk of catching COVID, but COVID causes periodontal inflammation. So it's a two-way street. And so if there's other bacteria that we know we can treat, AAPG, TD, FN, et cetera, we want to treat those, get them the heck out of Dodge so that all the other treatments that we're going to talk about really quickly, because we only have a couple minutes left, can help the patient to feel better. So I would be remiss if I didn't briefly mention that the mouth is also connected to the kidneys. And the kidneys get very, very, very stressed with COVID. I personally had COVID in October of 21. And when I did, besides my lungs, I was on oxygen for 10 days. Besides my lungs, my kidneys got very stressed. And I dropped from normal kidney function to stage 3 chronic kidney disease. And did I not know my 4 tenets of long COVID treatments, I probably would be a chronic kidney disease patient today. But instead, I was able to reverse all that and get my kidneys back functioning to normal. So we want to be able to be on the lookout for this. So in general, my long COVID treatments are first lifestyle. We have to talk, every one of you, every hygienist should be talking about the fundamentals of wellness. Eat clean food, drink clean water, exercise most days of the week, spend time daily in prayer and meditation and gratitude. Keep those emotions under check. If you're a negative person, learn how to stomp those automatic negative thoughts. We want to talk about time in nature. We want to talk about time in community. All those things are fundamental, and if you're not doing them, that's a great opportunity to get started. Then the specific long-haul COVID treatments are the 3 R's, remove, replace, and repair. We remove the toxicities that are stressing the symptoms, stressing the system. Those may be, from an integrative perspective, heavy metals, chemical toxicants, mold, other environmental toxins, infection. Probably there's a tick-borne illness, a form of babesia that is probably common in at least 20 to 30% of people that live in the East Coast, and it's mostly undiagnosed, mostly underrecognized, and certainly flares up after COVID. So we want to learn how to identify it and clear it because the patients aren't going to get better if we don't fix that. Electromagnetic fields are another thing that we need to remove for the sensitive people. Not everyone is equally affected by the stress of electromagnetic frequencies from Wi-Fi and cell phones and cell towers, but many are. And of course, emotional stress. We can't always take away the stress, but we have ways to help you build resilience. And one of the first places to start is to speak to someone who hears you. And as a hygienist, you're sitting there in the chair, you're often the first person who can say, I hear you. I'm walking with you. I understand. You didn't make this up. This is very real. And so that's the first place. So besides remove, then we have to start replacing the things that the patient needs. There are often nutritional deficiencies. Often there's hormonal deficiencies. I think those of us at life's transition, menopause, are often very much more susceptible to these sorts of illnesses. Maybe that's because my patient population is mostly this, that I see it more, but I think that the hormonal shifts make us more likely to have deficiencies in other areas. Nitric oxide, we talked about. You may be deficient in probiotic bacteria, prebiotics. Remember that many times the failure of probiotics is because you're not nourishing the body with enough prebiotic foods and prebiotic supplements. And then the final thing we do is we repair. We repair the body where we can. We repair the detoxification pathways. We repair the lymphatic flow. We repair the mitochondrial insufficiency. We help patients cope with their emotions, and we balance the sympathetic and parasympathetic input. And those are easy to rattle off, and each one of those we could talk about for a show.
I was just thinking but, that. She could break each one of those down.
But that's the general overview. And the point of all this is that if you or your patients are suffering long COVID, there is hope, there is help, and we have a strategic plan one at a time to identify your risk factors, make sure you don't have the bad, scary stuff first, and then treat the underlying predisposing conditions one at a time until you feel better.
Perfect. That was, Dr. Campbell, you are incredible.
Yeah, she is.
Thank you so much. I am just sitting here just loving every little word that you're saying. And I love, and here's why I love it though, doctor, is because it's real, right? This is real discussion for real clinicians to help their patients. And it's connecting, which this is your guys' world. You understand this very well, but as a everyday hygienist myself, connecting the medical to the dental is sometimes a bridge too far, it feels like, you know, and it doesn't have to be. So I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you sharing all your knowledge. If our audience wanted to reach out to you, asking any questions or getting involved in any of the things that you're involved in, how might they reach you?
Well, they can find me at a conference. I'll be at Collaboration Cures in Phoenix. I'd love you to come up and meet me face to face. That's AOSH and AAPMD are together. I'll be in Michigan at the International College of Integrative Medicine the first week of April, if you'd like to come there. Dr. Nick Retzema is a dentist. He's going to talk to from AOSH. He's going to be talking to us about oral cancer and the oral systemic connection. My website is campbellfamilymedicine.com. I'd love to have you poke around and you can reach me through there. Or my personal email is le.cfm@gmail.com. That's le.cfmcampbellfamilymedicine@gmail.com. Please don't inundate me with 1,000 questions because I have 10,000 emails already ahead of you. But sure. If you put it on your tagline, A Tale of Two Hygienists, then I'll try to pull you up to a priority.
Oh, thank you.
We are so appreciative of your time, and because y'all, she's so busy. I mean, you just got a little piece. That's not even everything this sweet woman is doing. It means a lot.
Awesome.
Thank you, Dr. Ellie.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, this is a tale, oh yeah, a tale of two hygienists. So there might be only one, bringing the best of dental knowledge, and we do it all with ease. We cover oral health and screening and preventing gum disease. We're gonna do a lot of learning and have a little bit of fun working at the dentist. A tale of two hygienists.